One of the greatest gifts I've found in following in the way of Jesus has been that it's given me a purpose and a sense of direction for my life. This is contrasted with a lot of people I talk to. A lot of people I talk to feel like their life is missing some form of guide, that instead of knowing what their purpose is in different moments of the day, they feel often like they're just going through the motions. I was just having a conversation with someone this week who just said, you know, it just feels like every day is sort of something that's the same, and I just kind of feel like I'm on a treadmill that I can't get out of. And I think that's how a lot of us live. We might have purpose in some moments, but we kind of lose it in the next. But this isn't the way that we are meant to live. This isn't the way things ought to be for us, because I believe that each one of us has been given a particular purpose and a specific way to live. And the reason that we feel lost, the reason we feel frustrated, is because we've sort of become disenchanted to all the different other things that we have tried. As we've been going through our series, The Way of Jesus, we've been talking about the fact that Jesus claimed this, that he had come that we might have life to the full. And we've been unpacking that, and we're actually coming towards the end. This is our second last week, and so we had to sort of get towards the purpose and the drive where this is all leading us. Because when we look at this idea that our life is to be filled to the full, we also have to understand that in order to have a full life, we have to have a purposeful one as well. And that's what Jesus modeled for us. Jesus modeled for us a life that was lived well, full of purpose in everyday moments. When we look at the incarnation, that's that Jesus came to live on earth in the flesh, to be God with a bod. We see that he didn't just do that in sort of a whimsical, meaningless sort of way. But instead, what we see is that every moment was built with purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that there was no rest or enjoyment, because there's purpose in those things. We see that Jesus had all sorts of moments of hanging out with friends, of enjoying good food and good wine, of having these moments where he just withdrew from the busyness and found a different pace within certain moments. But with all of those things added up, in addition to everything else he did, we see that Jesus lived a life of mission. But not only did he live out a mission, but he called us into that mission as well. He called out his mission our purpose. I love the fact that Jesus wasn't aimless. This isn't actually always the case of all the different religious figures that we see in other faiths as well. In fact, we find that many other influential religious leaders and figures, if you study world religions, often had a period of being aimless, of seeking something else until they found their ultimate purpose. Well, Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus came and was abundantly clear from the very beginning, even before he came to earth, that his life was to be purposeful. In fact, in Luke 19, Jesus shared sort of a mission statement. He said, "For the Son of Man," that was a title that was given to him, he said, "the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Period. Mission statement. He had a purpose, and every moment was built to bring lost people back into relationship with him. So every word he spoke, every step he took, every action he made was with the end goal of the completion of that mission. And so we see right from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus made it very clear to people that they were lost and there was somewhere else to go. In Mark 1:15, we read sort of Jesus' first announcement. This is when he first kind of publicly comes on the scene to tell people about what he's doing. He says, "The kingdom of God has come near, so repent and believe the good news." You see, Jesus didn't just come to be a great teacher, which he was, but he came to be more than that. He came to show that there was an establishment of a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he wanted people to understand through his teaching and through the ministry that he left, that there was a way to reorient our lives towards that kingdom and to embrace the good news of what that could mean for us. And that's what we've been talking about as we've been going through this series. We've been talking about some of the refreshing pieces of good news that come with living in the kingdom of God, in the way of Jesus. And then what happens is he built a ministry that pointed towards the fact that this could be true. It wasn't that Jesus just was a philosophy teacher and kind of painted a picture of what this could look like, but he wanted to make sure it was really tangible. And that's what we read in the Gospels, right? We read all these different accounts of what happened, but one of the best examples that summarizes this all is in Matthew chapter 9, where it says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That would have taken a lot of time. That would have been a lot of effort. But it was all with a purpose. It wasn't just so that people would look at him and be like, man, this guy's great. It wasn't for some sort of social acclaim. It wasn't so he would be known as a healer and get gifts given to him. But instead, Jesus was tangibly trying to allow people to experience the love of God for a broken world. And so everywhere he went, to all these different towns and villages, as he traveled hundreds of miles on foot from place to place, from home to home, all over the region, he continued to bring healing and restoration and justice. But of course, that was just the beginning to what he would ultimately make sort of the culmination piece, which was that Jesus would lay his life down for others. We sang about this. This is what we celebrate, that Jesus would come to be the Savior of the world. Now, many people through history have sort of said, well, yeah, but that's sort of a byproduct of what happened. This guy came, he taught, he was anti-establishment, he did all these crazy things and amazing things that made the leaders look just ridiculous, and so therefore, he had to be crucified. Therefore, there had to be death. But Jesus even took away that perspective. He really wanted us, who would follow him later, to have no doubt in our mind about his plan from the beginning. And so Jesus once said, no one takes it from me, my life, but instead I lay down of my own accord. And he said, I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And so what Jesus was saying before he ever went to the cross was, I have been sent by God the Father. I have come so that people will know that the kingdom of God is being established. And in the right moment, I will lay down my life, then I'll pick it up again at just the right time so this can be accomplished. All of it for a purpose. All of it to accomplish my mission, which is to show people that I love them and bring them into relationship with me. It is because of that, then, that our relationships can be mended. It's because of what Jesus accomplished that we can even begin to experience the life we've been talking about for a number of weeks, which is a life lived to the full. But it's not the end just to accept that. It's not the end of filling our lives up just to believe in that. That's really just the beginning. That's really just the start of what is next for you and I. At whatever stage we come to faith or have come to faith, we have more that's left. And Jesus says, there is a purpose for you in my mission. Again, Jesus wasn't an unclear guy. He didn't necessarily answer every question we would ever have, but he made sure of this, that we would understand clearly that we were called to continue on his mission. Instead of Jesus just saying, okay, I've won the victory over sin and death, now go figure out the rest, Jesus spoke to his followers and said this. He said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Which means that in the same way that Jesus was put on display to show God's intention towards humanity, there is an expectation that we as his followers will do the same. There's a mirroring that takes place or should take place in our lives to the life of Jesus. We don't just come into the kingdom of God and suddenly everything is complete, but instead, as we mirror the life of the King, our life becomes full. Notice also, this isn't a suggestion. I think one of the greatest failings of the church today is that we go, that sounds great, Jesus. I'll see when I can schedule it in. We seem to say, to think Jesus said, you know what, excuse me, you know how I saved your soul for eternity? You know how I'm redeeming and rebuilding you into an individual who has a full life that is full of purpose and meaning? Yeah, well, if you could just, when it feels right, when you find the time, could you maybe just make this a side project? It's ridiculous. But that's how we live. We seem to say, well, this thing that Jesus called me to has to fit somewhere in my margins. That doesn't seem to me at all to be what Jesus did. He wasn't like, well, I'm just going to come down to earth at a particular time and, you know, in between the moments where I'm not too busy, I guess I'm going to spend time with the people that are around me. Oh, it's just not just when I feel good and you know, I'm rested and well-fed that I'm going to go out and heal somebody who's sick. I'm not going to wait till it's a good time for me to go to the cross, if a moment could ever exist like that. But that's sadly what the reflection of many of our lives look like. If you were to say, if we were supposed to mirror the mission and purpose of Jesus, that might be what people would think Jesus' life was like. Jesus was clear that this was not a suggestion, but it was a calling to all who would follow him. And he was very clear in what this command would look like. We have this statement that we affectionately call the Great Commission. This is the great moment of Jesus saying, here's my mission for my followers. And he said this, all authority in on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as my followers, the ones who are reflecting me, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And by the way, good news. You're not on your own as you do this. For I am with you always to the very end of this age. These words weren't just ones given to the OG disciples. This isn't just the first 11, because we remember the 12th guy killed himself because he betrayed Jesus. It wasn't just for those 11. but it was for everyone who would follow after. If you do a great Greek study of the language in Greek, you see that this is a statement which is meant for all people for all time, because this is the mission from heaven. That you and I would live our lives so others would know, and not just know, but experience the good news of Jesus. So that others may begin to know what it looks like to have a life to the full. So the great things that we've experienced and begun to experience as we follow in the way of Jesus don't just stay with us, but they continue on to them. That was Jesus. Jesus said, I have come from heaven, where I'm in perfect relationship with the rest of the Trinity, Father and Spirit, where we live in perfection and in perfect love and fully fulfilled. And I don't want to just keep that for me. I want to pass that on to all those I have created. And so then we need to read that as we continue this on. And as we pick up the pieces that we receive from Jesus, as the Spirit works in our lives, we pass them on again. Now I know that this feels like it can be a bit far off and a bit intimidating to some of us. In fact, some of you might even be thinking here and saying, well, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a missionary, and frankly, I'm content. And I want to tell you this. You're right. You're not a pastor. And that's a great thing. But you are a missionary. You are a person on mission, because that's what Jesus told you you had to do. It wasn't a suggestion. Jesus never calls just a select few to be professional Christians. There's some of us who get the privilege to do that in this way, but all of us are expected to be Christians in our professions and in our day-to-day lives. You know, Jesus didn't even start with calling people with a particular set of skills or interests to live for him. I mean, if we even just look through the Gospels and sort of take stock of the initial disciples, it's a weird group of people. I mean, you got a few fishermen, a few who we don't really know what they do, but they were probably blue-collar tradesmen. We have a doctor, a tax collector, a guy whose reputation was for being a religious nut. That's what it means when they call him a zealot. And then there was a few young women who likely never had the opportunity to receive an education and worked out of the home. This is a weird mixed bag of people that Jesus decided would be the first ones to be sent. But I think there was intention in that. Again, Jesus didn't do things haphazardly. I think what he wanted them to understand was, my mission isn't for a certain select set of spiritual elite. I don't have a SEAL Team 6 of Christians who are going to go into all the world because they have been resourced and trained in the perfect way so that they can accomplish anything. No, he takes a group that's a mess, and he sends them on mission. And it's through everyday people that the world would begin to know who Jesus is. And it's through everyday people that probably most of us came to know Jesus through. Very few of us were probably actually attuned to truly experiencing God through a religious professional. It wasn't through pastors or missionaries, most likely, but it was probably through a family member or friend. It was somebody who invited you to youth group. It was a parent who prayed for you and taught you how to live. It was through an aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa, or somebody in your workplace that decided to express something that was meaningful to them. We might be thinking, but you know what? Yeah, that's true, but I'm busy. I've got a job and a family and a routine. And to use that as an excuse is to miss the message. The beauty of the gospel, that's the good news of the mission that Jesus sent us on, is that it doesn't mean we have to change our lives from where we live. Yes, some of us might get a calling from God to be called to go be sent, right? We read the Great Commission, and oftentimes we're like, we need to go out into all the world. And we're like, ah, that seems really big. But we forget that we are the people in all the world. This was a message that was given to people in Jerusalem a long time ago. And the gospel has spread, and yet we all find ourselves here in this place surrounded by people who do not yet know Jesus. And what it means when he says, I have come that they might have life to the full. In your job, you have the opportunity every single shift to reflect the love and character of Jesus in the way you deal with your business with integrity, in the way you talk to your coworkers and deal with your clients. In your family, you have opportunity to show grace, patience, and forgiveness even to those who don't deserve it, because you didn't deserve it when Jesus showed it to you. When you're running errands, you have opportunities to serve God. You can even be on mission in Starbucks. Can you believe that? I want to share with you a story of a woman named Heather. Heather was a college athlete who had really just kind of built up her life around running track. But she always had this burden that she felt, that she was like, somehow I feel like God wants to use me. And she never knew what it looked like. And frankly, she always expected that it would happen on the track. She was like, maybe God is going to take me to the Olympics and I'm going to win. And then that's where I'm going to be the person who gets up on the podium and declares, Jesus is Lord. But she found out that's not how it went. Instead, one day, Heather was going into Starbucks to grab her coffee in between classes. And as she was walking in, she noticed that a man was sitting at a table and he looked kind of burdened and sad. And she felt this prompt in her mind, and she was like, I think I'm supposed to talk to that guy. I'm just here to get coffee, though. That's not for me. And so she went, and she ordered her coffee, and then she had to wait in that awkward space where we all wait and judge each other on our coffee orders and kind of have to awkwardly linger as we wait. And she just got this prodding over and over again. Like, she just couldn't help it, but notice that guy sitting over at the table, and she's just like, ah, I guess I'll go talk to him. And so she got her coffee and she just went up to the man and she just said, are you okay? And that simple act of kindness opened the door for that man to share that he had just been diagnosed with cancer that day and was feeling utterly hopeless. Now, Heather, like many of us, had no idea how to respond. She didn't have words for this man. She didn't know him. She hadn't wrestled through life with somebody in the cancer journey, but all she knew how to do was pray. And so she just said, is it okay if I pray for you? And so she prayed a simple prayer for healing, for comfort, and for him to know God's presence. And you know, that brief encounter had a lasting impact on both of them. And what it reminded Heather, and what I hope it reminds us of today, is that it's even in fairly routine moments where we can live on mission. It was in an ordinary moment that took her no more than 2 minutes to just pray for somebody. And it made a world of difference for that man. Living on mission isn't about living in some sort of weird alternative reality that makes no sense in the life that we live. Instead, what it's about is being intentional in the everyday places and relationships where we already live. When Jesus calls you and me to go into the world to bring his message, it's just to say this, to leverage the places Jesus has already sent you. You know, a lot of people, for some reason, sort of take people who have jobs like mine and they look at us and they say, well, that's for those people. But the reality is, as many people as I can impact, there is such a distance for me and many others. There's people who are teachers here who you have a subset of our community that is so different to impact. We have those who work in trades, who are rubbing shoulders with all sorts of people who will never come in the doors of our church. We have people who are retirees, and you've got a group of people in your building, in your neighborhood, in your family. We have students. Goes for you as well. Stay-at-home parents. You have a network of people who you're connected to. And for all of us together then, we begin to reach the world. One at a time, relationship after relationship, as long as we look for those moments. I genuinely believe that we are called to this place. Our church is made up of people who live in Mission and Chilliwack and Abbotsford and Aldergrove and Langley. And each one of us, whether we thought about it or not, was sent to that place, to those people, so that we could live out this call of God on our lives. And the reality is that even though we live in a place like we do, where some people go, oh, that's like the Bible Belt of Canada, the reality is this, that increasingly we have more and more people who either don't know Jesus or have been turned off by people who say they follow Jesus, who need to know the reality of what living in the way of Jesus looks like and what it truly means to live a life full and spirit-led that only comes from a life-giving relationship with him. And so just as Jesus came to seek and save the lost and show us what it could look like, we are called to do the same today. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It's stories like Heather's that really stand out to me. Or a story like, for me, one of the most amazing times I've ever seen this at play was when I was doing my paramedic precepting. That's like your practicum you do. And when you're doing your paramedic training, one of the big things they say is they're like, you cannot proselytize, right? You can't use Christian language and go talk about your faith because you can't put that on people, especially not people who are doing this. And I really wrestled with that. And I was really like, but man, like this is something that's meaningful to people. And it wasn't until I went on car with one guy who would train me that I saw something totally different. I ended up having this preceptor who's sort of like your trainer. And what he ended up doing is he said, yeah, Kyle, and I was talking to him about him because I noticed he was wearing a cross. And so I asked him about it. And he's like, yeah, I'm a believer. And I was like, well, how do you do this? Like, how do you wrestle with this? And what does that look like? And he says, you know what, Kyle? What we're allowed to do is meet patients holistically. And so what I do is this. Every time I enter into somebody's home, as I do my scene survey and look for what's going on, I also add to my checklist looking for religious symbolism. And he said, because if somebody has a religious symbol in their home, I can ask them if they're a person of faith or if they're a person who's searching about spiritual things. And then what happens is they begin to open up to me often. And that gives them an opportunity to ask me why I ask them. And it's then that we find the loophole in not proselytizing. Because we're allowed to treat them holistically and meet them where they're at and answer their questions. And so he modeled this brilliantly. And it was surprising to me the places that we were sent that he was able to build spiritual and meaningful relationships out of. And not only did he touch the lives of those people as he prayed alongside of them as we were going to the hospital, but he made an incredible impact on the paramedics that we worked with, the firefighters, and the police that we interacted with. And through him, many people actually began to go to the church that he went to downtown Vancouver. All because he found a way to live on mission. And so for you and I, it might look a little bit different. Some of us have the great privilege of living in a place that has had a lot of Christians, and so there is a lot of openness in some workplaces and some places we interact, and so we can step into it. For others, we live in very hostile places, and we have to be very careful. But that's when we have the good news that Jesus gives us wisdom. In the book of James, it says that if we ask, he gives. Without finding any fault, he will give us his wisdom as we live on mission for him. And so we ask. And so we seek. And we keep our eyes wide open. And if we do that, I believe we will see the lives of people around us changed. But we only get to see it if we live it. God will do the work whether you or I get involved. The question is, do you want to experience that? Do you want to experience the joy of being used by God in your everyday life to make a difference in the life of others? Let me tell you this. If you do it, it will fill you up. And as much as there is anxiety and fear that comes with it, the joy that you will receive by doing it will far outpace that. And then you will truly begin to experience a part of what Jesus said when he said that I have come that you may have life to the full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for our church family, Lord, and God, I thank you that there's people in this church who are just awesome at this. God, I thank you that there is people who are just so passionate about having real conversations with people, even in small moments and in big ones. They are not afraid to share their faith. And God, I pray that for those people, you would just give them wisdom to be attuned to where people are at so they can be really effective in sharing the good news of who you are. God, for those here too, though, I know that there are some who have a great fear of this. And God, I get it. It's scary. And Lord God, we do put ourselves at risk. But God, we also know that you don't leave us. You don't forsake us as we go to fulfill it. And God, we thank you that your promise is that you are with us. And that you have the fullness of power and authority in heaven and on earth, and that we have that with us. So God, I pray for those who are fearful. I pray for those who maybe need a little courage to live out being sent, Lord, that they would be able to embrace that. And by your Holy Spirit, you would impress that on them today. God, I pray for everyone in this room, wherever we go this week, that we would have eyes to see the opportunities to live on mission for you. Lord, from the different schools that our students go to the different jobs we have, to the different families that we live in, to the different neighborhoods that we're found in, God, I pray that we would see different moments and opportunities, different people who maybe some look like they're hurting, some look like they have it all together, but Lord, would we have sensitivity to your Spirit in knowing when and where we are being sent to each of those people. And God, we do this so that we might see the fulfillment of what you desire. that we would see people drawn to you, to experience life-giving relationship with you, to experience a life that is full, not purposeless. And so, God, we just ask for a great move of your Spirit. And I pray that we would see something powerful take place across the Fraser Valley, Lord, that we would see people in Langley and Alder Grove and Abbotsford and Mission and Chilliwack coming to know you through the people that you have sent. So, God, we look forward to you doing what only you can do. And so we pray this in the name of the Father and Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.